game about looking at options personnel wise and just taking a look at alternatives, guys who are playing. Can you just talk about that and if there was, I mean, it sounds like there's not going to be any lineup changes. I mean, do you feel like that's something that could add some spark if you shuffle things around, and why not do it?
I think, you know, you show in practice every week from training camp to now, we have possible lineup changes and people compete every day. There are no spots set in stone. You know, we're playing our best guys. If there was somebody that was stepping up to play better, you know, they'd be playing.
What role did you have in Jason Babin not being here in the decision?
Not much. You know, that's something handled by management and the head coach. You know, Jason was a great player for us, and he's been a great player in this league, and we just wish him the best.
When Andy fired Juan and brought you in, everybody thought that things would be different, would change, but they've kind of gone the other way. Are you even surprised to see the results since he took over?
Well, I'm more surprised that we're not winning ball games. It's not about me. It's about a team as a whole. And, you know, everybody has their part in it, me included. I'll take my share of the blame as well. And we just have to play better. And we haven't been.
Was it more of a transition than maybe was anticipated from Juan to you? And has that been part of the problem possibly? I know you didn't do a total overhaul of everything, but I mean, it's unusual to have a change in the voice in midstream. Is it possible that it was more difficult than anticipated?
No, I don't think so. I mean, football, you block, you tackle, you score, you stop them. And the game doesn't change too much from one person to the next. There'll be coaches after us. There'll be coaches before us. It's not going to change the game. You know, you play, you coach the best you can, and you try to come up with wins, and it hadn't happened.
You have the players here to be a good defense in your mind?
Yeah, you always think you have the players here as well as the coaches. We just have to do a better job, and we haven't been.
Where's Brandon Boykin right now in his development kind of compared to where he was at the beginning of the season?
I think he's a lot more headier. He's a lot smarter. You know, playing the nickel as a first-time rookie, you're going to see certain things during the year that you don't encounter in training camp. And different guys play at different speeds, and he gets to go against the quick guys, the big guys, and the tall guys. I thought he's handled it well. He's been a professional all year.
On Rube's first question, what are the safeties showing you that would suggest they should keep their starting jobs?
Well, they're tough, and they play smart. You know, they play smart most of the time. They've made their mistakes, as has everybody else. And, you know, that's not just the safeties. Everybody is fighting for a spot every day. We're all trying to get better as a whole. And there was somebody behind them that we thought could play and step up and play. They need to show that, too. So if you're going to have – we got the guys we got, and the guys are playing hard, and they're playing tough, and we're just trying to get better.
How much is the cutting of Jason Babin pointing to the failure of the wide nine?
I don't think that points to the failure of the wide nine. I mean, we got guys, Brandon Graham can play, Phillip Hunt can play, Vinnie Curry can play, Darryl Tapp can play, Trent Cole can play. We have a bunch of defensive ends. You know, there's not a failure or success ratio of any. We just have football players, and we think we have pretty good ones.
We waited for weeks to see.
Wide nine is a success to play that on this defense.
Again, the wide nine is just a front. It's still a front four. You know, whether you line a guy up a step wider or a step closer, it's not totally a wide nine defense. It's just a front four. It's a four-man front, and you move it as such. Now, as a whole, we haven't been getting it done on defense, so I don't think it's just pointing the finger at a wide nine in general.
Wait for weeks to see Vinnie Curry. He finally had his debut at 5 tackles and 21 snaps. What did you think when you saw the tape of his performance?
I thought he played hard. You know, he played tough. He's got some technical things to clean up, you know, but he found the football, and that's always a good thing. So, you know, we're going to move forward from there.
Yeah, so many rookies playing a lot. He mentioned Vinny. Somebody asked about Brandon Boykin. You have Kendricks. You have Fletcher. You got so many young guys out there who probably haven't been through something like this. How do you see them kind of holding up through a tough season? And just what's your impression of the very young talent, the rookies that you have on that side of the ball and how they're doing?
I mean, you got a lot of young talent, and they play well. No different than coming in as a freshman in college or a freshman in high school. You know, football is a game that you can master early. You'll see some tweaks here and there, but I think these guys handle it professionally. They came in shape, so they're not having that mid-season swoon that a lot of rookies have. So their maturity has a lot to do with that, and I think they're doing a good job.
I asked Marty this too. Do you have to also coach the players, you know, mental state here? I mean, you guys have been killed by injuries, and you're on this losing streak. Do you have to try to coach them up to keep them motivated here under the circumstances?
Now you do that whether you're winning or losing. You know, if you're coaching and you're winning, you got to coach them from getting too big-headed and not doing what they're doing. And if you're losing, you coach them to make sure everybody's mentally on the same page. So, you know, as a coach, you do that. You inherit that.
Night, you were pretty dispirited about those first two touchdowns. In particular, one of them you said was basically a high school cover three situation. Do you have any more thoughts about why these concepts just aren't being grasped on the field, why things aren't happening? You talked last week about, you know, reinforcing and pointing out, and it just doesn't seem to happen on game day. Why do you think that is?
Well, as a coach, you're disappointed on any touchdown, but from a standpoint as far as why it's grasping or not grasping, we have to make sure it's communicated better, and they have to carry it out. So as a group, as a whole, coaches and players, we've got to be on the same page. And when you have been, there are calls I make that I like to have back. There are plays that players make that they like to have back, you know, and you learn from it and you take it on the chin. You don't want it to happen, and you're pissed off that it happens. And as a coach you are, and as a player you would be too, and you carry it on your sleeve and you wear it, and these things can happen, but you can't dwell on them because in this league, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. So, you know, you take your lumps and you get better and move on to next week.
Camp, there was a lot of discussion from both you and Juan about using Nnamdi to maximize his skill set. Do you feel this defense and the way he's being used is doing that?
I don't think this defense is built around Nnamdi, nor should it be. We got 11 guys out there, you know, his skill set is for a corner as is any corner, and within that scheme there are things you can do depending on who can come in and play and what's being taught that week that you can utilize those things, and it may be advantageous to him, though it may not be advantageous to the others. So right now in the defensive we're playing and the other guys that possibly need help too, I think we're doing everything we can with Nnamdi.
Okay. Todd, as up and down as most of the guys on defense have been, it seems like D'Amico has been the rock for you guys in the middle of defense. Can you speak to how well he's played, even despite the team's struggles of late?
You know, his biggest strength is his mental capacity. You know, he can handle a lot, and he understands adversity because he's been through a lot, coming back from an injury and all, and he's played well, you know, but not winning ball games, you know, as a coach and as a player, nobody plays well when you're not playing well as a group. So we win together and we lose together. But from a mental standpoint, as far as keeping everybody on the same page, he's been doing a great job.
Going forward, Todd, can he play and play well on the outside, or do you think his future is probably going to strictly be as a nickel?
I mean, he's a corner first, and he can play nickel, and that remains to be seen whether he fails or succeeds on the outside sink or swim category. But I think he's a good football player and a good athlete, and his chance will come to play out there.
They're going to have to play on the outside?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in the league that size playing.
Showed you. I mean, he'll get more snaps, I assume, with Babin gone. He's starting. What has he showed you? What do you think his upside is?
I think he's gotten better mentally. I think he was a little immature, and then coming back from injury, he probably was a little hesitant. His work ethic has picked up. He is an intelligent football player, and this is kind of learning the tricks of the trade as you go on, Brandon. He's tough, he's relentless, and, you know, the more he plays, the better he gets. So, you know, we're looking for good things from Brandon as we go forward.